Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T, back with you on Blog Talk Radio, the best hour. You can also find us on facebook.com/CourseMastery. That's C-O-U-R-S-E, Mastery, Course Mastery. We are continuing our journey through the workbook lessons. Today is day 53 of year 2020, and we're going to be discussing lesson 53. We're actually in review right now of the first 50 lessons. We're doing 5 lessons a day. And today we'll be reviewing a lesson 11 through a lesson 15. And after each one of the ideas for those next 5 lessons, if you will, 11 through 15, we're considering just a little bit of an enhanced perspective that our brother Jesus is giving us for each one of these teachings. And so we're just going to jump right in and read through these and read what he's added to the comments on and the teachings for each one of these ideas. But before we do, let's just take a moment here briefly and take a good deep breath and just join together in a moment of silence. And thank you very much for being here. I want to say welcome, and also welcome to everyone who's following along with us on the internet and on blogtalkradio.com. Today we will review the following lessons, 11 through 15. So let's just jump right in. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Since the thoughts of which I am aware do not mean anything, the world which pictures them can have no meaning. What is producing this world is insane, and so is what it produces. Reality is not insane, and I have real thoughts as well as insane ones. I can therefore see a real world if I look to my real thoughts as my guide for seeing. Number 12. I am upset because I see a meaningless world. Insane thoughts are upsetting. They produce a world in which there is no order anywhere. Only chaos rules a world which represents chaotic thinking, and chaos has no laws. I cannot live in peace in such a world. I am grateful that this world is not real, and that I need not see it at all unless I choose to value it. And I do not choose to value what is totally insane and has no meaning. 13. A meaningless world engenders fear. The totally insane engenders fear because it is completely undependable and offers no grounds for trust. Nothing in madness is dependable. It holds out no safety and no hope. But such a world is not real. I've given it the illusion of reality and have suffered from my belief in it. Now I choose to withdraw this belief and place my trust in reality in choosing this. I will escape all the effects of the world of fear because I am acknowledging that it does not exist. 14. God did not create a meaningless world. How can a meaningless world exist if God did not create it? He is the source of all meaning, and everything that is real is in His mind. It is in my mind, too, because He created it with me. Why should I continue to suffer from the effects of my own insane thoughts when the perfection of creation is my home? Let me remember the power of my decision and recognize where I really abide. And lesson 15. My thoughts are images which I have made. Whatever I see reflects my thoughts. It's my thoughts which tell me where I am and what I am. The fact that I see a world in which there is suffering and loss and death shows me that I'm seeing only the representation of my insane thoughts and am not allowing my real thoughts to cast their beneficent light on what I see. Yet God's way is sure. The images I have made cannot prevail against Him because it's not my will that they do so. My will is His, and I will place no other gods before Him. Let's pause again and take a good deep breath for just a moment as we reflect on these, on the review of these 5 lessons. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. A meaningless world engenders fear. God did not create a meaningless world. My thoughts are images which I have made. As I often do, I would like to take us back to the analogy, if you will, the symbology of our experience in physical form as the ego, personality, self, the individual body, mind, person, the human, if you will, as compared to the mind, the experience of self when we are resting and sleeping, and the body is asleep, and we're asleep, and we're dreaming of a different world. We're dreaming of a different existence. Yet, it's very, very, very similar to this experience and as a human in the physical, you know, what we say the actual real world, if you will. And when we go to sleep at night, we're just dreaming about a real world. But when we're dreaming it, it seems every bit as real, doesn't it? And the reason that I refer to that so often is because we can see the flimsiness, we can see the untruth, we can see the unreality, not necessarily while we're actually dreaming that dream, but we can see it when we wake up from it, and we can see that it was just thoughts and images which we have made. Whatever we see is reflecting our thoughts when we're sleeping. And God didn't create that world. That's our imagination. And so we can really accept that as our experience, that, you know, we wouldn't blame God for the dreams that we have, would we? I don't think so. And we could have fearful thoughts, no doubt. We could experience fear and do. In fact, it's not unusual. It's different levels, if you will, or degrees of fear, but we certainly experience fear. We certainly experience fear when we're sleeping in our dreams. And the world that we're experiencing, by and large, when we wake up, we realize it was pretty meaningless because those dreams weren't real. And in our dream, we do sometimes get upset because we don't realize that it's a meaningless dream. It's just our mind. It's just our thoughts and images which are playing out on the screen, if you will, of our mind. And we do, in fact, then get upset because we're seeing a meaningless world. And so that when we really look at that with reason and with logic, we can simply say, as lesson 11 says, my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. So I use this analogy and I use this reference of our sleeping small self, sleeping mind, because it's so easy for us to see it when we're referencing that particular experience. So when we are experiencing that particular experience, although it seems quite real while it's going on, at the end of the day, when we wake up, I should say at the beginning of the day, I suppose, when we do that, when we wake up, we realize that it was only a dream. And if we looked at these ideas in reference to that experience, we could really, I think, quite easily connect the dots with reason and logic and say this: my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless dream. And I'm upset in my dream because I'm seeing a meaningless dream, giving everything all the meaning that it has, right? And I'm literally having insane thoughts if I think that I'm being chased or potentially harmed by something that I've made up in my mind. A meaningless dream is engendering fear, And God didn't create a meaningless dream. That's my construct. That is my, you know, I'm making that storyline up. I'm providing the images. And so my thoughts and images, which I have made, are showing me a meaningless dream, a meaningless experience. If we could but take this to one step further and realize that what we're experiencing right now as an awakened human going about our day, and in this case, you know, listening to this podcast and having this discussion about A Course in Miracles workbook lesson and the review of the lessons 11 through 15, here lesson 53, it is somewhat difficult to think that this is not real, but we're also hoodwinked when we're dreaming at night because we don't think that we're not living. We don't believe that we don't have a body, and we don't even question the world that we're in, even though we know clearly when we wake up that it was all a fabrication of our mind. Apologize one second. I got some background noise. Hold on one second. I apologize for that. I'm back with you. So that's the reason that I continuously refer to the sleeping self, because it really shows us, it's like a mirror, and it shows us how our mind can potentially trick us into believing something that's not real. And our brother Jesus is absolutely bringing clarity. It's so ridiculous when we wake up to the dream experience, to believe that that's our reality when we wake up from it is ridiculous, right? If we had done something to harm someone, we wouldn't go turn ourselves into the police. We wouldn't even... Well, I mean, we might feel a tinge of guilt about it, but we also know that, well, it was just my imagination, so nothing really happened. I didn't really harm anyone. And if we felt threatened or there was some big drama, we're not going to try to go back in there tonight and fix it. And we wouldn't want God to intervene in our dream. We would just say, you know, I just need to wake up from it because it's not real. And that's what our brother Jesus is pointing to here in this curriculum called A Course in Miracles, because he's trying to help us see. And he says it again and again, that you are always dreaming. We're just moving from one state of consciousness of dreaming in mind to another state of consciousness still dreaming in mind. And that's the big aha, that's the big, oh, I gotcha, right? That the ego is accomplishing is to keep us confused and not seeing the truth of who we are and what we are. So when we start to apply reason and logic, when we look at an example that we can clearly see from all sides, like our sleeping self, when we can really look at that experience and see, indeed, that, yeah, we were just kind of fooling ourselves. We really weren't where we thought we were. We were safe at home in bed. You know, our actual life is much, much bigger, much more full, much more to be appreciated and experienced in the world of form. So when we wake up from that dream, we believe now we are, quote unquote, actually really awake. And this is reality. But Jesus is telling us in A Course in Miracles, not so fast. You know, let's take another look at what's really going on, because what's really going on is you are dreaming a dream, and I am too, and we are in this together. We are in relationship. You didn't come into this experience by yourself. That we've made commitment, a mutually agreed upon definition, to play a game of separation. So here we are. So the trick of the game then, well, we should say, how do we win the game? Is to realize the truth. And we cannot do that by ourselves. Because God created you in relationship. And if we are willing, and this willing is a very high level of consciousness. Willingness is a very high level of consciousness that is beyond courage. Because you have to be courageous to be willing to set aside your best thinking, the thinking self. But the thinking self, I'm here to say, and sorry to say, unfortunately, it's because it's kind of a trick, is like lesson 13 here, the review says, the totally insane engenders fear because it's completely undependable and offers no ground for trust. We can't trust a mind that changes its perception of our experience and our reality and is projecting it to keep us confused and distracted from the truth of who and what we are. That's what the dreaming mind is doing at night, is it not? It's really keeping us distracted from the knowing that the body is in a state of rest and is safe and home in bed. We're totally distracted. But here we are in this physical world, and we get so hung up, so hypnotized by the experiences that we've had, and we're looking to the past. We're always looking at everything through the lens of our past experiences, so we're always seeing everything. We're missing out on what's present because we're seeing everything through the past. And the mind is thinking, chattering away, laying meaning and definitions onto everything that we're experiencing. And so, no wonder we're confused, right? And so, when we have some kind of drama or traumatic experiences, we then hold on to those energies, those thoughts, and thoughts are things, and thoughts are vibrations. So when I say energies, I'm talking about that level of vibration, if you will, that octave, that chord like a chord on a guitar. It's a resonance, and we're holding it, and it becomes solid, if you will, and it is ejected from our mind and kind of takes a lodge into even our physical body. And it becomes an obstacle to the awareness of the presence of love. And what we don't eject, if you will, into our consciousness, into our body and make it solid and like a stone, and just a stone that's in the, you know, bottom of the pool, so to speak, we reject outside of ourselves and place it onto other things. We give everything outside of us all the meanings that it has, and it's really a reflection of how we're judging ourselves. So we're not going to get the cat to drive the car, not today. And so we, since this little sliver of intelligence of we have such high regard for, called the human intellect, is just smart enough to keep us confused. The dreaming self is smart enough to keep us confused, right? Believing that we're somewhere that we're not. So would it be possible to make an argument and say, well, maybe what's really going on right this very now is that you are safe at home in heaven? You could never leave where God would have you be because God created you, and ideas leave not their source. According to our brother Jesus in A Course in Miracles, he teaches that ideas leave not their source. Therefore, you are an idea in the mind of God, and you could not be outside the mind of God. You are an aspect of mind in the mind of God. And an aspect of your mind that never leaves you and never is always available, we could say, is that aspect of that sleeping self. So as soon as we drift off to sleep, there it is. And it is an aspect of our mind. And it doesn't leave our mind. If anything, we could imagine that basically our mind is leaving our body, so to speak, and our body's just safe at home in bed. And we're literally traveling to another dimensions in mind of another dreamscape that we've created out of nothing. So this whole idea of insanity, insane thoughts are upsetting, he says in Lesson 12, the review, which is paragraph 3 here in Lesson 53. Insane thoughts are upsetting. They produce a world in which there is no order anywhere. It's very, well, humiliating, isn't it, to the ego, mind, personality self, to consider that, well, I'm not quite sane. I'm not quite really rational. I mean, we really believe that we are indeed quite sane. But I should say this ego self is really working hard to convince us that that's true. But we can look at the sleeping self and see that we know that it's really not quite sane because it's making all this stuff up. And none of it's real, and it believes it's to be real. It believes what it's fabricated out of nothing, out of its own images and thoughts, to be reality. And that is, we can see, of course, would be insane. Yes. Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. So given that, if we can back that out one more level and see that the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, is the true self, the true you. And we can then begin to shake loose our commitment to insanity, our commitment to an ego mind, a commitment to a dream, an illusion of what reality really is. I cannot live in peace in such a world. I am grateful that this world is not real and that I need not see it at all, unless I choose to value it. And I do not choose to value what is totally insane and has no meaning. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. It doesn't make any sense. It's a meaningless world. We can work, and I'm going to say it this way. There's nothing wrong in working on dealing with the upsets, because the upsets become the obstacles. They become the stones in our pool, so to speak, blocking the flow of life in our energetic field. And so if I feel that I've been harmed in some way, historically, something happened in the past, and I keep giving it and holding on to the meaning that, yes, I was a victim, I was harmed, or somebody else was harmed, whatever the case may be, it's all in my mind. And yes, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with applying some healing to any type of modality, if you will, or any type of a process that helps us to move and break down those obstacles and move beyond them. But ultimately, we can become distracted by that as well. We can become quite distracted by working on the body or working on the blockages or working on the you know, the fear or guilt or shame or anger or whatever is going on about something that happened in the past, and we can work through psychology and break it down and start to see how it's a construct within our mind, and that's, we can let go of those things, and that's good, that's healing. But at the end of the day, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, this is the graduate study of spirituality. Now, you have taken a quantum leap to be on lesson 53 at this point in your journey to understand yourself in A Course in Miracles. Lesson 53 on the workbook in A Course in Miracles, because we've traveled very far, very quickly in grasping and understanding and seeing our experience as human in a completely radical way as compared to the world. But you see, it's the world that's really radical in its presentation, because it's trying to convince us, the ego, and the world is the outpicturing of the ego-mind construct. It's attempting to convince us that this is the reality, not only that it is reality, it's the only reality. And so we spend all our time unpacking this reality, drilling down with our scientific instruments so that we understand every minute characteristic of this reality. And all of that is to validate its reality. But it's just a reflection of consciousness, just a dream. And no matter how far we drill down, we're just still going to be literally exploring different aspects of mind. And so we're taking this quantum leap through A Course in Miracles to let go, if you will, surrender all the work and worry of trying to establish some methodology to, you know, heal ourself, our mind, and heal our body, and, you know, spend time doing all those things. And I say, nothing wrong with those efforts, absolutely. As long as it doesn't bind you and lock you in so that you can't move beyond that. And that's what happens. We get tripped up. But this is saying, if it's all insane anyway, why work on fixing what's already and only an illusion? Because the fixing of the self, remember the discussion about the idealized self? You're never going to fix the self because it's, as he says here, it's a mind of chaos. It's a self that's not even real. So instead of working on fixing something that's not real, we can literally begin to let it all go, every bit of it, let it all go as we begin to realize our own true perfection by connecting with that truth within ourselves. And we will continue to do that tomorrow. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Be well. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send